God is love. And those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. If all of you were fortunate enough to get Father Corley's email this week and read through it, it pretty much says what my homily says this morning in abbreviated form. When I came in this morning, I spoke with Father Corley and I said, either you read my sermon or I read your blog, but they're pretty well on point with one another. And that's a good thing. I think these emails that Father Corley sends out with the weekly message are a great thing to read and become familiar with what the church is doing and what we're studying this week. We're in our fourth week on the epistles of 1 John. And as Tina read the lesson this morning, I kept thinking back to some of the things that I remember of years past about loving one another and about the world of love and how we need more love in the world and in our society in very troubled times. I used to hear a song on the radio, which actually was tied into a Coca-Cola commercial, but I remember the catchy tune and the words, and in the context of today's epistle, I think in retrospect they really do say a lot more, and they go like this: I'd like to build the world a home and furnish it with love, grow apple trees and honeybees and snow-white turtle doves. I'd like to see the world for once all standing hand in hand and hear them echo through the hills for peace throughout the land. An entire life furnished with love. Why not? As I began preparation of this homily last week, it occurred to me that that which is infinitely complex is simplified down to about six words. All you need to know about moral theology and Christian ethics can be summed up in these six words: God is love, love one another. And so what can we say about the love of God? A poet once wrote, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell." Today's epistle lesson seeks to convey that this love of God is not merely an attribute of God. Love is the essence of God. God is love. When God creates, he creates in love. When he rules in love. He redeems in love. He judges in love. Every move God makes, every action he takes, is an expression of God's very being, which is love. That is so much more than my mind can comprehend sometimes, to think of this massive spherical body of gases and water and rock and soil and hot gases within the middle of the earth, which we call our island home, set in a vast infinity of space, and then to consider our lives that are just milliseconds in the outward surge of time, to ponder yours and my individuality as human beings, and then affirm that God knows and loves you and me individually, is more than my small mind can fathom. And yet, that is exactly, precisely what today's gospel is telling us. The love of God is unearned, it's unconditional, and it is unending. You can't accomplish or achieve love. John Eldridge, who's a rather famous author of men's books, who wrote Wild at Heart, which was one of his first really great books, wrote a book called Waking the Dead, And it was about a wounded heart of his friend, a woman named Abby. Listen to her story. The assault on her heart started as a young girl. There was something about her that just seemed to aggravate her father. Something that seemed to annoy him and repel him. As she grew older, she only seemed to become more frustrating to him. She would ask him a question as to how he was doing. She noticed the annoyance in his eyes. And she began to suspect that there was something deeply wrong with her. Something that made her undesirable, unlovable. Something that was either too much or not enough. I'm sure many of us have known a few Abbeys in this world. By the time she reached adolescence, she assumed that this love was something she had to earn. She became very angry that no amount of effort would enlist those magic three words, "I love you." As a young adult, her efforts only intensified. But no degree she earned, no award she received, no church she ever attended seemed to be enough. It took her decades to discover that love was not something we earn. God is love. You don't have to pester God to get his attention. You don't have to grovel for God to be good to you. You don't have to bite your lip and groan and moan and move around nervously to know that God is within and about and all over you with his love. For God in Jesus Christ has already demonstrated his love for you and me. He took the initiative. The love of God is unconditional. It's been a few years now, but I will never forget the mother of her teenage son at the boys' correctional facility in Gainesville, where I minister periodically with Seals for Christ. This young boy was 13, and he had, of course, gotten together with some friends, and they got on the wrong side of the law. It landed him in jail. And at her first visitation after he was transferred to the correctional facility, I walked down with her in that dark hall in the dormitory. And I watched in silence as this broken-hearted mother walked slowly into the visitation room, and then, putting her hands across the table, she pulled the face of her son as close as she could. And then, leaning against the table, she said, "Son, no matter what you have done, I want you to know that I love you, and I want the best for you." And then they both began to cry, and I began to cry. God loves us like a mother loves her child. Brides have enjoyed 1 Corinthians 13 at their weddings for many, many years. It seems to be a traditional scripture. In mystical moments of a wedding, I suppose it's fair to wish that a spouse will always be patient and kind, never boastful or proud, one who's not easily angered, one who keeps no record of wrongs. In moments like that, you wish for a love that always protects, always trusts, hopes, perseveres. After 35 years of marriage, I have to confess, I've not always measured up to such a high standard to love. My beloved Joe might say that at times I have failed miserably. So when I read that chapter, I have a hard time putting my name in it. Ash does fail. Ash has been rude. Ash has been easily angered. 1 Corinthians 13 describes the nature of God. He is patient. He is kind. He bears all things, believes all things, hopes and endures all things. He never fails us. Then the love of God is unending. Consider the affirmation of faith from Romans 8, 35. We are more than conquerors from him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, things present, things to come, height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will ever separate us from the love of God, that is, in Christ Jesus. John says in our epistle today, there is no fear in love, for perfect love casts out fear. So it does. There's no fear in life, for God will never leave us or forsake us. There's no fear in death. God has conquered death and turned that into everlasting life. What have I to dread? What do I have to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. And so, what do we do with these promises, these affirmations of God's love? The other three words. We let ourselves love one another. The love of which I speak is neither erotic or passionate, nor the sentimental ties of a family. Rather, this Christian love is the determination to do good. And not good only, but the highest possible good. We Christians have coined a word for it, and they call it agape. We can aspire to that kind of love because we have been loved in that way. We can drink at the fountain of God's grace until we have love like an ocean in our souls. Love one another when it's easy. How different life would be if we could really trust that simple acts of love make so many differences in the world. Henri Nouwen used to say, if we loved one another as God already loves us, the world would be a veritable house of love. Love one another when it's hard. Somebody is surely saying by now, yeah, Ash, but your enemies didn't show up at your healing service. You don't get cards from people who despise or criticize you. Are you asking us to be patient with people who have warmth of a vulture and the tenderness of a porcupine? How can we forgive the money grubbers and backstabbers? And yet again, John is reminding us in our epistle today, if we say we love God and hate our brothers, we're liars. Jesus said, if all we do is love the lovable or say hello to only those who greet us, we can't expect a reward. Thousands of years ago, revenge was the rule, retribution. Do more to your enemies than they do to you, only get there first. And then Moses came along and said, revenge is mine, saith the Lord. Retribution is enough for you. So do not do more to others than they do for you. The eye for an eye or tooth for a tooth. And then Jesus came finally and said, you don't have to get them back. There is no need to get even. With my grace, you can forgive and you can love. My grace is sufficient. Jim Moore tells a story about General Omar Bradley, who was a very famous general. He was traveling on a commercial airline in civilian clothes. He was in a business suit, and this young private, fresh out of boot camp in the Army, came in and sat right down next to him. He wanted to talk, of course, and he said to him, you must be a banker or a lawyer. The general, in no mood for casual conversation, said, I am General Bradley, a 5-star general in the United States Army. I'm the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff at the Pentagon. Well, sir, replied the private, that's a very important job. I hope you don't blow it. When it comes to loving others as God first loved us, we also have pretty important work to do. The Bible study group at Robson Ranch, which I lead on a weekly basis, says an opening prayer each week that affirms God's love. And it goes like this. The love of God enfolds us. The love of God inspires us. The love of God enlightens us and encircles us. We are in God, and all is well. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.